You have dreams of a successful career and a wonderfully fulfilling life, but is something holding you back? You just can't figure it out? You know what you need? A proven method of breaking through your barriers to find success, both personally and professionally. And my guest today, Tony Wrighton, has the tools to help you find that success. This is Which Way Is Life, your podcast for health and inspiration. I'm your host, Bill Klaproth, and this is episode 73. And if you like what you hear today, please take 30 seconds and rate and review the podcast on iTunes. I would greatly appreciate it. Tony is a sports presenter on Sky Sports, successful author of 3 books translated into 12 languages, and a neuro-linguistic programming called NLP, neuro-linguistic programming expert and trainer. Tony hosts a podcast called Zestology, in which he interviews experts in the fields of personal development and health. He credits NLP with helping him to meet his own career goals and even with helping him fight off a tropical disease. And today we're going to talk with Tony about NLP and how it works. Tony, thanks for joining me. I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
I would say escape the screen. You know, we live such an overstimulated lifestyle. When you switch off and escape all the screens, and that's not just your phone, but also your laptop and the TV and everything else, you tend to connect with the things that you really love doing, whether it's hanging out with friends, eating good food, great conversation. Whatever it is, when we escape the screens, we're often happier, but also the best ideas come to us as well.
Well, that is good advice. Well, Tony, before we dig into your story, let us in on your personal life. What brings you joy when you're not saving the world?
Well, I don't know that I ever am saving the world, but what brings me joy is escaping the screens. Yesterday, I went to one of the world's biggest sporting events of all time, and that gave me great joy. It was the final of the Champions Trophy cricket. Now, I know on your side of the pond, cricket might seem like an impenetrable sport with far too many rules, and you're probably right, but it was India versus Pakistan in the final of the Champions Trophy here in London, and more than 1 billion people were watching around the world. Incredible. Great atmosphere, great day spent with my buddies, good times outside. Maybe a couple of drinks were taken as well, Bill. Not going to lie.
And, possibly.
Possibly. Today's been possibly a struggle. Not going to lie.
Well, that sounds like a good day escaping the screen. And I quickly want to mention Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. So, Tony, explain to us how neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, works.
Well, if your listeners want to go to Audible and search for my name, they'll find 11 of my audio titles on there, all based on NLP titles. So I could be killing two birds with one stone there.
Right.
NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. It's not a great title. It was invented in the 70s when computers were the new thing. And the guys in California who invented NLP thought, we've got to have something that sounds like computers in our title, which is why they invented neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP. But really, it's a study of how people do things well. It's the study of how to manage our moods and communicate with ourselves and other people better. So I kind of got into it really just because I wanted to be happier. But then I was a radio presenter at the time. I thought, you know what? I could actually start trying out some of these linguistic skills on my radio show as well. And I quickly had quite incredible results. In fact, my listening figures went through the roof. And so I started to think, this is quite good stuff, this NLP. I'll look into it a little bit more.
So when you talk about linguistic, can you give us an example of what you study or what you do to, you know, increase your performance using NLP?
I mean, in terms of my radio show, what I did was, firstly, very simple, just try to make my language richer and more sensory. So there are 3 main ways that we experience the world. There's the visual sense, and then there's the auditory sense, listening to stuff, and then there's the kinesthetic, touchy-feely sense. There are also the senses of smell and taste, but we don't use those quite so much. So next time you're telling a story, you could say, I had a fantastic day at the cricket. Or you could say, what an incredible day at the cricket. the fans were decked out in blue and green in the color cover of in the color of their country, and the heat was shimmering on the horizon because it was so loud and hot and warm, and the sound of their trumpets was it was a cacophony of sound, and you're just kind of tapping into all the different senses that help people to understand a little bit more what actually happened on that occasion.
And so by doing that on your radio show, obviously you're being a lot more descriptive and you're really painting that picture and telling the story that really helped you out with your radio show.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was incredible. After a couple of months, my boss called me into his office, and it was on one of the days that I'd used, you know, a lot of these linguistic skills. And I thought, I've been rumbled here, because I wasn't telling him that I was doing it. I was just trying out all these techniques to get people to listen for longer and perhaps get some new listeners and perhaps get people to feel better about listening as well. And he sat down and he had his arms behind his head, and he kind of, it was in a very kind of alpha male pose, and he put his legs up on the desk and he said, I don't know what you've done. I thought, oh, I'm in trouble here. And he said, I don't know what you've done, but your listening figures have gone through the roof. And normally on a radio station, the breakfast show has the most amount of listeners. But for some reason, you on drive time have more listeners than breakfast. And at that point, I was like, right, I'm going to start getting involved in this stuff because it's great.
Well, that's fascinating. So someone that's not on the radio, though, someone that works in a cubicle somewhere at an office. So by using NLP, it will also help them improve their, you know, position at work?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not just linguistics. It's not just a radio-friendly, ready language. I wrote three books which kind of deconstructed the skills of NLP, because there are a lot of long words in NLP, like neuro-linguistic programming. And I turned it all into skills you can use in a minute or less. The first one was on confidence. The second one was on relaxation. The third one was on persuasion. And so it's definitely possible to take these skills and help in any area of your life, you know, simplifying, feeling more confident, changing your body language, achieving your goals, and managing your mood. Really good for managing your mood, and confidence is a good one as well. It's really great for confidence.
So Tony, you had a health scare. Is that how you got turned on to NLP, or can you tell us how NLP helped you through?
Yeah. Oh, you've been doing your research, Bill. I'm impressed. I went to this was way after I learned NLP, but a few years ago I went on holiday to the Philippines, and there was nothing. I went to this retreat in the middle of nowhere. It was a beautiful place. There was nothing more to worry about than waking up in my log cabin every morning and listening to the sounds of the birds chirruping outside my log cabin and wondering whether I was going to do yoga or Pilates or just lightly stew in the sun by the pool. And you may notice that I'm using some of these NLP skills now.
I'm listening and hearing.
Doing it deliberately now so you can notice it. Unfortunately for me, though, I didn't enjoy this trip because I contracted a tropical virus. And I started off with a rash of my arms and my legs. And the Philippine doctors, they didn't know what it was. I had to come home. I started getting numb patches on my face. And, you know, when you get numb patches, the first thing they have to test you for is a stroke. But then after that, I went to see neurologists and doctors, and no one knew quite what it was. They knew I'd had a virus because of my blood cell count, but they didn't know what it was. I ended up spending 3 months in bed. Pretty dark time. And the skills of NLP massively helped me because, you know, there's a lot of meditation, self-hypnosis in there, which helped me to relax even when I wasn't feeling so well. But also, I'm not a one-trick pony, Bill. I like to go outside the confines of what I've learned before and find anything that might work. And really, I think the best definition of NLP is doing what works. So I went to this amazing guy that does tapping. Have you ever heard of it?
I have, but I am not sure what it is.
Oh, it's incredible. You go to this guy, and he starts tapping on your face. And you think, this is just too weird. It's too weird. And within about 10 minutes, this incredible well of emotion came out of me. And I kind of knew I was going to be okay. And from then, I went to see him once a week. He would tap on my face. He would ask me certain questions. And I was able to connect with the emotions behind this illness, if you like, and all the emotion that I was carrying, because I was so worried. I didn't know if I'd ever go back to work. I thought I had chronic fatigue issues. And I was just kind of sitting in bed. I've got this job that I love here in the UK. I'm a TV presenter on a sports channel, and I absolutely love it. I couldn't even go in. And they were so understanding. They said, don't worry, Tony, you come back when you're ready. But every week they'd call and say, how are you doing? And I'd be like, yeah, need another week at least, you know. So it was a pretty emotional time for me. And to be able to let it all out, connect with that emotion, and then release it and start to get better was an incredible, incredible thing.
So was the illness basically due to stress and fatigue?
No, the illness, I definitely contracted a virus. Okay. But I think underneath all of that, you know, at the start when I was talking about escaping the screens, I think a lot of us live a very overstimulated life. And when you're in a kind of super stimulated, high energy state, your fight or flight mechanism can kick in. And that is not a healing state for the body. The parasympathetic nervous system isn't allowed to do its work. The sympathetic nervous system thinks you're about to get eaten by the lion, therefore everything has to be on high alert and super tense. And so I was fine like that for a few years. But then when something like a tropical virus came along, that kind of tipped me over the edge. And I wasn't able to get into healing states quick enough. So one of the big things for me now is doing less. You know, chilling out, having more time, a bit more balance, enjoying life.
That's another great piece of advice, doing less, because you're right. We all live such a busy, hectic, crazy, fast-paced lifestyle that you do get overworked and overstressed, and you don't take time for yourself, and that chronic stress kicks in, and that certainly is not good for you. So what is the most common issue then?
By the way, Bill, I know you ask people quotes at the end of the podcast, and my quote is relevant to doing less and chilling out. So just to let you know, I'm prepped and I'm ready for that one.
I love it. All right, so let me ask you this. So what is then the most common issue that people use NLP to treat? Do you know that by chance?
Well, NLP isn't just used in a therapeutic setting. It's used a lot in sales, business, marketing, persuasion, even kind of politics, certainly speech writing and communication. In therapy, I'd say, when I first learned these skills, I kind of had this kind of small kind of private practice. I would work with individual clients, not because I actually particularly wanted to. That wasn't what I wanted to use the skills for long term. But I knew that if I was going to write books on NLP, I had to work with a number of clients. And funnily enough, the thing that I saw people on more than any other was getting over phobias, specifically flying. It is absolutely brilliant for getting over fear of flying. If anyone's listening to this and they're quite nervous of flying or they've got a phobia of some description, definitely recommend you look up NLP and have a look at how that could work for you. I actually went on a national radio station here in the UK, and the presenters were off to Iceland the next day. It was Christmas, and they were going to do their show from Iceland. And one of them didn't want to go because he was scared of flying. So they got me in. In about half an hour, I somehow managed to cure him of his fear of flying, and they happily jetted off to Iceland the same day, which I think led to a lot of people coming to see me about fear of flying. I don't do that with individual clients anymore, but I think it's a very good use of the technique.
So if you have a fear of flying, look up Tony's books and check out NLP, and that certainly may help you with that. And you have books, you have a podcast, Zestology. So tell us about your podcast and how that helps you open people's eyes to NLP.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I mean, you know, one of the things with NLP is doing what works, studying what works for other people and yourself, and doing more of it. And at my kind of deepest, darkest moment, when I was lying in bed and I haven't been to work for a month, I was doing a lot of Googling, Bill. I was consulting Dr. Google on a regular basis, unfortunately. I realized how many other people have serious issues based around energy, but also how many more people have just kind of low-level concerns. They're not as energetic as they could be on a daily basis. They've got some kind of little health niggle, or they just don't feel full of vim and vigor on a daily basis. Because without energy, you can't do anything, can you? And if you are bursting with energy, life is just so fantastic, and you're so able to do so much. So at that point, for some reason, I thought of the word Zestology. I thought, if I do get back to full fitness, or at least something approaching it, it'd be great to combine the fact that I'm a broadcaster with the fact that I'm a personal development author, and, you know, approach people who are successful in this field and get to ask them how they do it. And from a purely selfish perspective, I'll get to interview all the people who can help me get better as well.
That's a really good plan.
The podcast is kind of my journey as well.
I love it. So tell us about the magic tusk. You were just talking about a zest for life and feeling your best, and people kind of have a low-level energy or kind of a nagging thought in their head. I'm just not as good as I feel I should be. So tell us about the magic touch. It's your favorite life hack. What is that?
Yeah, the magic touch is great fun. Now, it's not something that's going to give you more energy, but it might be something that helps you with your kind of communication skills. And the reason that I came up with the magic touch is because in my final book, Persuade in a Minute, we were looking at the things that help you to kind of communicate better. And it turns out there's been loads of studies done. And when you touch people in a certain place, it can make you more persuasive. So there was a study, it was done in a market town on the Atlantic coast of France. And this, by the way, is one of many studies done on what I call the magic touch. And these researchers found that one single piece of body language could dramatically increase the amount of tips that a waitress received. So once a customer was seated, the waitress or the waiter would come over and touch the person in a certain place, just once. And when they touched them in a certain place, just once, their tips increased by 128%. Now, it wasn't when they brought the bill. It wasn't when they brought the bill. It was when the customer initially sat down. Because the researchers found that the touch creates an unspoken, unconsciously remembered bond between two people. Wow. Now, I'm going to have to introduce a note of caution here. Be careful where you touch. Because if you get it wrong, not going to be good. Where do you think the magic touch would be? Where on a person would be the magic touch?
I'm thinking shoulder or forearm if possible.
You're good. You're good at this stuff. According to Nicholas Guiguen, who was the researcher who did this study, it has to be specifically on the forearm for 1 to 2 seconds. Because as a rule, the forearm is not considered an intimate part of the body, but it is intimate enough to make it a connection. Now, touch them in the wrong place, and I will not be responsible for your actions. Just touch them on the forearm for 1 to 2 seconds, and that will work well. I love that bit of research. And, you know, it's actually been replicated in plenty of other studies. They found that people, when they go into a shop, if the shop assistant touches them on the forearm for 1 to 2 seconds, they will spend more in the shop, and so on.
So use with caution. I love that.
Use with definite caution, yeah.
Okay, so that's a great life hack. Can you share another one with us?
I've got a good one for you. Me and my girlfriend were out in Brighton on Saturday. We're in the middle of a heat wave here in London at the moment. It's very rare. Normally it's kind of wet and cold, but we're in the middle of a beautiful heat wave at the moment. It's fantastic weather. We went to Brighton on the south coast and had a lovely day. And about 9:30 we went into a restaurant. And it's one of Brighton's most popular restaurants. It's full of couples enjoying a late evening meal. And they were all sitting opposite each other. And for some years now, I've been a very awkward restaurant customer. I just don't like the standard restaurant layout for two people where one sits opposite the other. And I've found whenever I sit at 45 degrees to someone in a restaurant instead of opposite them, we seem to have a better time. There's a better connection. And in this restaurant on Saturday night, it was a four-person table. And they were like, there you go. And they put the menus kind of either side of the table. And I just went and sat next to my girlfriend. And it kind of felt like we had a better connection sitting next to each other. Facing someone directly is seen as confrontational, kind of a bit like squaring up. But when you sit at 45 degrees or even virtually alongside them, it's more friendly and conspiratorial. So if you've got a meeting or if you want to sell someone something or if you want to persuade someone or something, just remember that a more persuasive position is at 45 degrees to the other person or even virtually next to them. And, you know, it might not just be about persuasiveness. You might just form a better bond with them. It's just so nice and relaxed. But when you go and sit at a bar next to someone, you have a good chat because you're kind of sitting next to them, maybe doing something else at the same time, like watching the game on the TV. It's easier to make that bond. And it also applies when you're standing and talking to someone as well. In the workplace, in a meeting with friends or family, stand at 45 degrees or sit at 45 degrees to improve your communication and get what you want.
Another great tip. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's very cool.
No worries.
Well, coming up, we get the high five from my guest today, Tony Wrighton. But if I could ask a quick favor, after the interview, if you could just hop over to iTunes and quickly give Which Way Is Life a rating and a review, that would help me gain a wider audience. And then it gives us a chance to help more people. And that's what this podcast is all about. The high five with Tony is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way Is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way Is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way Is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, Tony Wrighton. Tony, are you ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
Okay, so I ask my guests often this question. I believe high-performing people have a certain morning routine that they do to start their day. Can you tell me about your morning routine that guarantees a huge energy kick?
Yeah. The first thing I do in the morning is, before I've even got out of bed, I sit up and I meditate for 15 minutes. Then, before I switch my phone out of airport mode, I use an app called the 5-Minute Journal app. I used to write it in an actual 5-Minute Journal or in a book, but now I just use the app as it's easier. And I write down three things that I'm grateful for and three things that I'm going to do on that day that are going to make it a great day.
That's really cool. The 5-Minute Journal, that's what you call it? That's what the app is?
And of course, you know, because I went to Tony Robbins' seminar in London a few weeks ago, and he was talking about the difference between expectation and reality. And if we're constantly kind of comparing ourselves to other people, that can lead to a kind of real dissatisfaction. But when you start to think about what you're grateful for, then you start to live in the moment and appreciate what you've got. So that's why it's all about gratitude for me in the morning.
So cool. And we will put a link to that app on the show notes page at radiomd.com. Okay, question number two. So how do you address critics who do not believe in the power of NLP?
I don't really care.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me if someone that, you know. I also think that there are many different things in this world that work as well as NLP. I'm not absolutely sold on NLP being the only thing. I use loads of stuff. Like I told you, I went to see this tapping guy. I've trained in loads of different disciplines as well. Take lots of different courses and love to learn lots of different things. So if someone doesn't want to use NLP, that's okay.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Question number three, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
That is a very good question, actually, because I don't think I used to have such a good sense of balance as I do now. I do less now, and I relax more, and I prioritize downtime better now, and I think I'm happier as a result. But funnily enough, that edginess, that kind of dissatisfaction, and that need for success drove me a long way and helped me achieve a lot. So I would say work hard, but not too hard, and make sure when you switch off for the day, that is it, and prioritize balance.
Mm-hmm. Another good message. All right, question number four. Do you have a favorite? Here we go. Do you have a favorite quote you can share with us?
Ah, so you never get to it. it's Da Vinci, and it's related to what I was saying earlier on. Now, this quote talks about men, and I'd like to say to all women listening, I'm sorry that he doesn't say men and women, but it was the 17th century, and I don't think he was, you know, very enlightened in terms of equality. So just bear in mind, this is for everyone. But he said, men of lofty genius, when they're doing the least work, are the most active. Which means, essentially, when you sit there and do nothing, when you meditate or just give yourself a little bit of space or switch the TV off and just sit in silence for a while, that's when the biggest ideas, the most creativity, and the most important life-changing ideas might come. When you're doing the least work, you'll be the most active.
So good. So good. Thank you for sharing that with us. And another good reason to escape the screen, which you told us earlier. That's great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All All right, last question, question number five. Finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is to have a sense of humor, because things don't go to plan. You can try and control everything exactly the way you like, but it won't happen the way that you write it down at the start of the year in your goals. Sometimes it'll be better. Sometimes it won't go to plan, and it'll be ups and downs. But if you manage to have a little chuckle along the way, then you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, the podcast is Zestology. Also, Tony has several books you can check out. And how can we connect with you?
Thank you so much, by the way, for having me on. It's been brilliant. I'm a big fan of what you do, and I've been looking forward to this, and it's been great fun to chat, so thank you. The podcast is called Zestology, available in all the usual places. And you can also go to tonywrighton.com and find the books and everything else. But as I say, Zestology with a Z, you can search for that and you'll find it.
Absolutely. Very cool. And we're going to put links to all of Tony's social media, his books, the podcast, all that good stuff right on the show notes page at radiomd.com. So just go there and you'll find out all of that good stuff. Well, Tony, thanks again. And I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite quotes, which is...
Yeah.
Remember to enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Tony, thank you again.
That is good. That's good. Thanks, Bill.
So cool talking with Tony. I could have talked to him for much longer, but check out the books and the podcast, NLP. It's very interesting. And thank you for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at radiomd.com. And if I can ask a favor again, please take 30 seconds and rate and review the podcast on iTunes. That way we gain a wider audience and it gives us a chance to help more people. Which Way Is Life is produced by radiomd.com, award-winning health podcasts. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. Find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at radiomd.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.